to Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. Now, let's go back to David Craig.
We're broadcasting from the Bomberito Automotive Group studios here at 590 The Fan in Webster Groves. And while we were away, we all decided that a gumbo food truck would be a great thing to have in St. Louis. Panelists with us, Ligia Figueres from Sauce Magazine, George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine, and Jim Befero from InnoVox STL, which is the name of his new company. It is a company.
It's a nonprofit.
A nonprofit. Okay, good.
A lot of companies are nonprofits, but I'm calling myself a nonprofit.
Well, some people are nonprofit.
Right.
You know, they want to be profitable.
Yeah,
they turn out to be a nonprofit. Okay, there was a recent NPR item. I think they did something on their Science Friday show about Provel cheese and all of that. They reported on a pizza joint in a neighborhood in Brooklyn, a hipster neighborhood in Brooklyn, and it's a pizza that's offering a pizza joint offering a pizza made with Provel, and they call it the Louis Pizza. It's become their number two seller. George, you know so much about emos. Is there a chance that this would ever become a national trend among hipsters and the public?
I totally think so, because chefs and creative food guys all around the country are always looking for something new, a new ingredient, some new whatever new, you know, crazy thing they can come up with. And Provel really is still a regional thing, and there's been introductions of Provel in different places, and all by ex-St. Louisans. So it's interesting that this place called Speedy Romeo in Brooklyn has made a real success with this, and I think the fact that it's a number two seller says a lot. And yes, I think it could absolutely spread. And this is great, because no food radio show is complete without discussion of Provel cheese.
You told me that is the most polarizing question in the St. Louis food world, either pro or anti emos or pro and anti Provel.
People just go crazy, and it gets more comments and more feedback and gets more people riled than any other thing that I've ever talked about or written about. And it all started with Ed and Marge Emo back in the, you know, when they started their pizza place back in the 60s.
Okay, Jim, when you were working for this famous airplane manufacturer, you did a lot of travel. And now, did you ever talk to people about St. Louis pizza and St. Louis food?
I have found that people who are not from St. Louis are universally anti-Provel cheese. It's a common occurrence. Now, there is one place, I've not been there, and you guys probably know about it, called Frazier's in Scottsdale, Arizona, which was opened by St. Louisans. They have Provel cheese pizza. They have an entire St. Louis menu.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy Rick Tomjanovich just told me about it. He says, oh, yeah, next time you're out here, we'll take you to Frazier's, and you'll get a little down-home.
Is there anybody there? Go there?
Well, I guess everybody speaks St. Louis there, so they talk about Highway 40, and they give Warsh the Fark and all that good stuff. So maybe that's part of the deal. When you walk in there, you have to have the little St. Louis code. But my wife, for example, I mentioned her before, she's from Wisconsin. She is a cheese snob. She will not eat Provel cheese, and this has been a line of demarcation in our family, is that she unfortunately will not patronize that particular establishment here in town. But I have been known to sneak out a few times.
Now, Ligia, your thoughts on Provel, not just in St. Louis, because I know people in St. Louis who would do anything for an Emo's pizza, but taking it out, you know, to the coast, taking it down to Florida and all that stuff, do you think it'll fly?
I really don't think it'll fly, no. I mean, George is right. When you're looking for a new spin on something and you go out of your way to find, you know, an ingredient that's different and unique, shows up on the ingredient list on, you know, we plug it, do your whole, you know, marketing thing. But I don't think it's going to be long-lasting. Maybe that just becomes a wee trendlet for a little bit, and then you move on. I'm kind of the don't get me started on Provel, because I'm on the other side. It's not real.
I just know when we moved into our house in 1988, our neighbors who lived behind us brought us an Emo's pizza. My older son, who was, a teenager at the time, he opened up the box and he thought, oh, good. And he looked at it and he said, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
and but he ate it, and now he and his wife are enormous Emo's fans, and he worked for Emo's for a while.
As did I.
As did you. And so, yeah. Now, do Marge and Ed, do they get a piece of all Provel sales?
They have. Everybody thinks they have a patent on it. They really don't. They and they never really made it. It's always been made by someone else.
Okay.
And Ed just thought it was a pretty darn good idea back in the 60s, and he just asked the company, I think it was the Cherney Company at the time, you know, I'd like to have the distribution rights for this, if I may. And that's how it happened, and he has distribution rights. That's what Ed Emo has. So, and he got it just by asking, which is kind of a cool thing, and the rest is history, and he lives
Cheesy
in a big
history.
House on the hill. Yeah.
Now, are you the most likely candidate to write the book about the history of Emo's, or has that been written yet?
You know, it hasn't been written, but it's interesting because those two are interesting folks. They tried a whole lot of things before they got into the pizza business, and, you know, they'll admit to successes and failures. And Ed was a tile setter, hence that's why one thinks that the pizza is cut in squares and not wedges. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a good story.
Now, Jim,
I just, as a kid growing up here with braces on my teeth, you do not want to eat Provel cheese with braces on your teeth. You just don't. It's not a good look at all.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to another topic here. You guys all get around a little bit. And, Jim, you know, you talked about all the travel that you did there. What's the mention a really good out-of-town dining experience that you've had, and not when you were a kid or 20 years ago, but in recent times, LaGaia?
Right. Okay, so I was thinking about a couple of things. I am a diehard fan of Jose Andres. He is a Spaniard he's made the United States his home. He's in D.C. And last year, when I was in D.C., I ate at three of his restaurants in one day. They're fairly, you know, close, tight together in downtown D.C. So I went to Jaleo, to Oyamel. So, well, Jaleo Spanish Tapas. Oyamel is the Mexican focus one. And actually, I went to then America Eats Tavern, and that was the historic American cuisine that he had done in conjunction with folks over at Smithsonian. So super cool weekend. But, I had to eat it at other places, too. But I was like, back, you know, three Jose Andre places in one day. I patted myself on the back for letting my stomach get through it.
Sounds good. George?
I wish I could travel more, but I don't. But when I do, I try to make it work for me. I was in New York not long ago, went to some very nice places. But the best was the one that I really wasn't quite expecting. It's called Teresi Italian Specialties. It's in Nolita, a little 25-seater. Three seats at the counter, and we were lucky enough to snag two of the three seats the night we were there. And it's all set menu, prefix, seven courses for $75. Matt Teresi's he's up for a James Beard Award. I mean, he's the real deal. Very unpretentious, but man, the food. I mean, all seven of these courses were just perfect. And you know, for that amount of money, that wasn't, you know, I thought I'd. You know, I thought it was Christmas. It was really, really
and what
great.
Part of town is that in?
Nolita, north of Little Italy, is where that is. And it's this just really small, non-pretentious place. And Gerard Kraft said, you need to stop by this place. And, man, he hit it right on the head. This place was great.
Jim, I know you got kids in school in Chicago.
Yeah, I was just up in Chicago last week and went to a couple of nice places. For me, it's more the food is obviously a big part of it at a restaurant, but for me, it's the whole ambiance of the time of day, the crowd, the service, the atmosphere that's created. And there was a place called Rosebud on Rush that we went to. It was just a good old Italian restaurant, excuse me, right on Rush Street. Packed to the gills, which, you know, unlike your experience, I think this place probably seats, you know, a couple hundred people. And it was just a great night. You have a couple of glasses of wine. You have some spaghetti. The waiters look like they've been there forever. And they, you know, I love those kind of experiences. The Italian district in Baltimore is great. If you just walk the streets in Baltimore, Little Italy is wonderful. So I'm more about the experience as well as the food, and places like that just hit a home run for me.
Well, for me, my wife and I had breakfast the other morning at Nashville. It's a delicatessen in Nashville, and it's been there for a long time. And in my many treks to Nashville, I'd driven by it, never been in. And we thought about going to the Pancake Pantry, which is, you know, it's okay for breakfast. It's a little uneven. But you sometimes, you know, you it's like you look over there. Hey, look, there's Leanne Rimes. Hey, look, it's Emmy Lou Harris. But we didn't see any stars, but we had really a solid breakfast. And I love their little potato pancake kind of things.
I love the name. That's perfect.
Nashville. Yes.
And now, I had a very interesting restaurant experience lately, but I wouldn't call it the best.
Okay.
So 2 weekends ago, I was in L.A. It's award season, and I was there for the American Academy of Cinematography did their award. So I was over there. I didn't have a chance to eat out very much because the whole weekend was eating with these cinematographers. Okay, so I'm staying at a hotel. What happened? In short, I had to make my own Manhattan at the bar.
Oh, good.
And then
somebody
calling
sick?
The bartender didn't know how to make a Manhattan. He said, I can make it if you tell me what's in it. And so I proceeded to step by step on one side, tell him what to do. Next thing I knew, he was about to shake the drink. At that point, I said, no, he didn't give this to me. So I'm still on the other side, but, you know, he handed over everything. By the time we were finished, I said, how much do I owe you? And he said, nothing. Thank you very much for the lesson.
Now, there's an entrepreneurial startup. So, do your own booze.
Well, no. What do you think I was thinking? As soon as I was finished with the Manhattan, I thought, I'm going to ask for a Negroni. I know he doesn't know how. If he can't make a Manhattan, he doesn't know how to make a Negroni.
Right,
I might
this
get
could
the,
go on all night.
This could go on all night.
Yeah.
Or how about this for a restaurant promotion or a bar promotion? Stump the bartender. If you can stump the bartender, your cocktail is free. Kind of like, you know, Johnny Carson and Jay Leno stumped the
pretty
band.
Pretty easy to do. There's a lot of cocktail recipes out there.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd have to handicap it somehow, I think.
And you know, you could probably do one of those things. Is this a real cocktail name, or is it one I just made up, you know, from Sex on the Beach to all those kind of things there. Okay, this is Food Talk STL. If you're just dialing by and maybe hit the scan button on your AM radio and you said, what the heck is this? This is Food Talk STL. It's a weekly show where we talk about eating and drinking, and my guest in studio are Jim Befero, longtime radio guy doing the news on a lot of stations, George Mahey writing for St. Louis Magazine, and LaGaia Figueres, who writes for Sauce Magazine. Okay, we just had our big snow day on Thursday, our big storm. It was cold. It was snowy. It was messy. It was the kind of day when you think, my, I'd like to step inside my warm house or somewhere else and have a hot bowl of soup. And if I said to you, LaGaia, gee, I'd really like a really good, and I'm not talking just a broth or a puree. I'm talking about something, you know, something that's got a little substance to it. Mm-hmm. Give me a recommendation for good soup in St. Louis.
Okay, so on the menu at Salt, there's rabbit stew, and it is so good. So good. You want sustenance? That's a good one. Yesterday, I had the Italian ramen at Pastoria. That was fabulous. I think that Winslow's Home in U City, fabulous soups. And also Fountain on Locust shakes it up all the time. They have like a rotation of, I think, 47 different soups. And
their signature's dill pickle mm-hmm. soup.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a potato base.
Start there, right.
Yeah, it's a potato base, so it's going to fill you up. But there's like crushed dill pickle in it. And so that's a good one.
And, George, I just noticed on your blog, and I think in the Webster Kirkwood Times, they're having that big soup off tomorrow at the Manor Grove Nursing Home on Kirkwood Road.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that it's the only soup competition in town. As big as soup is, that's another good idea for a food truck, by the way, is a soup truck. You know, just dip and go. I think you could make a fortune, you know, just take it and get out of here. And, you know, I think it's a great idea. But, yeah, soups are, you know, it's a huge segment. And there are days when, you know, just like you said, you got to have some soup. Where would I go? I agree with LaGaia at Winslow's Home. That was on my short list. Curiously enough, both Whole Foods and Straub's have pretty decent soup departments. You can, you know, if you have to have something quick, and I mean, I've done that, you know, taking a pint and just hammered it in the car. I mean, that's a quick lunch for me. The other place that I don't think a lot of people think of maybe when they think of soup is Companion Baking Company. They make incredibly good bread, the best bread in town. But their soup selection, they put it up every day on the website, what we're having at our two cafes. And it's always three or four items. And one day when I sampled the New England clam chowder, it was one of the best soups I've ever had in the city. And it was just loaded with clams. And I sent our critic back, Dave Lowry. I said, and he's kind of finicky about these things. And he calls that serious food. You know, these classic things are serious. And I said, see what you think. And he totally agreed. So if you can find New England clam chowder at Companion, run, don't walk there.
Jim?
I'm glad you guys mentioned the dill pickle soup at Fountain, because that is awesome. And I had never had it until about 2 weeks ago we were at Fountain. And it was, oh, man, I said to my wife, you got to try this. She said, no, you got to try it. She said, all right, I'm going to order a bowl now. So it was really good. Last night I had some lentil at Cyrano's, a big bowl of lentil soup, which was just, I hadn't had lentil soup in a long time, and that was really good. So, gosh, there's so many. I'm more of a gazpacho guy, kind of a summertime soup kind of a person, but there's some great ones these days in town.
We had some really good clam chowder over at the tavern in our neighborhood, and I don't know, it was part of like a four-plate seafood thing. I don't know if they offer it. I guess you could get it separately. Sure. And we had some really good gumbo a couple of years ago over at PJ's in a tavern in Kirkwood, which I truly enjoyed. Well, we're going to take a break. We've got a lot of things going on here on Food Talk STL.